spoke to two of them while Dieterling picked up something from a pan, dipping his fingers nimbly into boiling water, and nibbled it experimentally. "This is Tanner Mirabel, a friend of mine," Vasquez said to the senior cook. "Guy used to be a wide-eye, so don't fuck with him. We'll be here for a while. Bring us something to drink. Pisco sours. Mirabel, you hungry?"
"Not really. And I think Miguel's already helping himself."
"Good. But I think the rats are touch off tonight, snake."
Dieterling shrugged. "I've tasted a lot worse, believe me."
He popped another morsel into his mouth.
Pretty good rat, actually. Norvegicus, right?
Vasquez led us beyond the kitchen into an empty gambling parlor. At first, I thought we had the place to ourselves. Discreetly lit, the room was sumptuously outfitted in green velvet, with burbling hookers situated on strategic pedestals. The walls were covered in paintings all done in shades of brown, except that when I looked closer, I realized they were not paintings at all, but pictures made of different pieces of wood, carefully cut and glued together. Some of the pieces even had the slight shimmer which showed that they had been cut from the bark of a hamadryad tree. The pictures were all on a common theme, scenes from the life of Sky Houseman. There were the five ships of the flotilla crossing space from Earth's system to ours. There was Titus Houseman, torch in hand, finding his son alone and in the darkness after the great blackout. There was Sky visiting his father in the infirmary aboard the ship, before Titus died of the injuries he had sustained defending the Santiago against the Saboteur. There, also rendered exquisitely, was Sky Houseman's crime and glory, the thing he had done to ensure that the Santiago reached this world ahead of the other ships in the flotilla, the ship's sleeper modules falling away like dandelion seeds. And, in the last picture of all, was the punishment the people had wrought on Sky. Crucifixion. Dimly I remembered that it had happened near here. But the room was more than simply a shrine to Houseman. Alcoves, spaced around the room's perimeter, contained conventional gambling machines, and there were half a dozen tables where games would obviously take place later that night, although no one was actually playing at the moment. All I heard was the scurrying of rats, somewhere in the shadows. But the room's centerpiece was a hemispherical dome, perfectly black and at least 5 meters wide, surrounded by padded chairs mounted on complicated telescopic plinths, elevated 3 meters above the floor. Each chair had an arm inset with gambling controls, while the other held a battery of intravenous devices. About half the chairs were occupied, but by figures so perfectly still and deathlike that I hadn't even registered them when I entered the room. They were slumped back in their seats, their faces slack and their eyes closed. They all bore that indefinable aristocrat glaze, an aura of wealth and untouchability. "What happened?" I said. "Forgot to throw them out after you locked up this morning?"
"No, they're pretty much a permanent fixture, Mirabel. They're playing a game that lasts months, betting on the long-term outcome of ground campaigns. It's quiet now due to the rains, almost like there isn't a war after all. But you should see it when the shit starts flying around."
There was something about the place I didn't like. It wasn't just the display of Sky Houseman's story, though that was a significant part of it. "Maybe we should be moving on, Vasquez."
"And miss your drinks?"
Before I had decided what to say, the head cook came in, still breathing noisily through his plastic mask. He propelled the little trolley loaded with drinks. I shrugged and helped myself to a Pisco sour, then nodded at the decor.